I want to do things a little differently during Lent this year, and I'm calling it the Lent Experience. And there was a little handout next to the bulletins from last week. They're still there this week. On the top it says the Lent Experience, and it gives you a few details of what I'm talking about. This year, instead of just engaging your eyes and your ears, which is normally what you use during worship, I want to engage all of your senses at one point or another. Not just sight and hearing, but touch and taste and smell. I want to do this both in our Sunday sermons, as well as the hands-on prayer times that I have scheduled from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Wednesdays in Lent, which of course you are welcome to stop by and try out. You can stay as long as you like or leave as quickly as you have to. So this Sunday, I want you to use your eyes and your ears and your hands to engage with this sermon. So as you came in this morning, I'm hoping you took a stone or somebody handed you one. And I believe on the organ there's a basket of stones to pass out to the choir. So I want you to find that stone and I want you to hold it in your hand. And if you don't have one, there's folks in the back who have extras and they can bring you one if you missed it on the way in. All right, you won't have to do anything with it. Just hold it in your hand. So take a look at it. Look on the one side. Flip it over, look at the other side, and hold it in your hand, and as you listen to the final reading of Scripture this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" And again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly the angels came and waited on him. The word of the Lord. Keep holding on to that stone. We're going to come back to it in a minute. After 40 days and 40 nights without food, without water, and without human interaction, I can only guess that Jesus is tired and hungry and perhaps a little lonely. And when I am tired and hungry and lonely, I am very vulnerable. And I can only guess that Jesus is just as vulnerable as we normally are in those wilderness places in our lives. And it's at just this time that Jesus is visited by the tempter, who once again is ready to prey on human vulnerability and weakness in order that he might gain more power for himself. So as I read through various commentaries about this passage of Scripture, I came across a variety of suggestions as to what the human weakness the tempter saw in Jesus that might have caused this three variations on the theme of temptation. And normally I like to stick to what the quote-unquote experts have to say about these kinds of things, but this week I'm going rogue. I'm just going to tell you what I think. It's just sort of an educated guess, for better or for worse, and we can debate whether you agree or disagree over coffee. I think the human weakness that the tempter saw in Jesus that day must have been the desire to have everything that he was currently lacking. He had not eaten for 40 days. So the tempter offers him food, which he lacked. After 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and now this string of temptations in the desert, perhaps Jesus was feeling a little abandoned by God. So the tempter offers him the chance to force God's hand and to grab at God's attention. And perhaps now, tired from this struggle, the tempter offers Jesus the power he lacks to take control of his life and not wait for God's plan to unfold in due course, but to grab at power and to reign as the political leader over all the kingdoms of the world. The tempter, he has a knack. He has a knack for noticing exactly what humans are lacking and what we are craving. He has the knack for noticing the holes and the empty places in our lives. And with this ninja-like stealthiness and a silver-gilded tongue, he offers to give to Jesus everything he is lacking that day in the wilderness, to fill up the emptiness. And in the end, Jesus' character and faithfulness to God is laid bare for all the world to see in the face of this temptation. He proves himself to be the Son of God. Remember, the tempter kept saying, "If you are the Son of God, do this." Well, by not doing that, he proves that he is the Son of God. Just at the voice at his baptism and at his transfiguration had claimed him to be. Jesus is, as we say at Christmas time, Emmanuel, God with us, who humbled himself, emptying himself of his power and becoming like us in every way, yet without sin. And by resisting these three temptations, Jesus proves that, unlike the rest of us, he lacks for nothing. Now, back to the stone. Take a look and find the side or the part that has the heart on it. There's a little heart, and in that heart there's a little hole. To be human is to be aware that we carry inside ourselves a hole, an emptiness that we will always be restless to try to fill. Because to be human is to be insufficient and incomplete. To be human is to know that something will always be lacking because we are not God. And that for as beautiful as this world is, it is also terrible and beyond what we can fix. So there's a 17th century French philosopher named Blaise Pascal. And he once said rather famously that in our sinful human condition, we each have a God-shaped hole in our hearts. And the tempter knows that we will go to tremendous lengths to fill up that hole, to gain that which we lack. And we'll fill it up with anything we can get our hands on, anything we can think of. A new car, the latest gadget, a better house, a better job, a bottle, a needle, another race at the track, finding the perfect spouse, or maybe creating the perfect life. All these things we try to shove into this little hole to fill up the emptiness in our hearts. Adam and Eve concluded in a heartbeat that the hole in their heart was shaped a lot like that fruit that they ate in the garden. We live our lives occupied and obsessed even with finding something, anything that will fill the hole in our hearts, to find that which we lack, to fill up the void. It's our greatest human weakness. And the tempter, he knows exactly how to take advantage of our insecurity. But when you think about this God-shaped hole in our hearts, Pascal, the philosopher, is quick to point out that this hole is not a flaw to be fixed or a problem to be remedied. Instead, it's a built-in reminder in the midst of temptation that only God can fill the God-shaped hole in our hearts. And this reminder, this keeps us tethered and connected to a life-giving relationship with God, instead of being tethered to and chasing after things which drain the life right out of us. While Jesus's 40 days and 40 nights of struggling with temptation in the wilderness have ended with this scripture passage, ours are just beginning on this first Sunday of Lent. And in his testing, we see that there is a purpose in our testing, that there is a rhyme and a reason for our time of temptation in the wilderness. Because it reminds us that the hole in our hearts is not a flaw to be fixed, but rather a tether which keeps us anchored in God, a way of keeping our faith anchored on the solid rock of Christ. So the prickly question I have to ask you this morning, a question to ponder today, or perhaps for the next 40 days and 40 nights of Lent, is this. What things or what people are you tempted to put in the hole in your heart? A hole that's really only meant for God. What things or what people are we tempted to use to fill up the emptiness inside of us that should only be filled up by God? Now, in case you can't come up with an answer off the top of your head, maybe one of these will stir your heart and turn into lead in your stomach. How about despair when we look at others and feel insecure about not having enough? How about superiority when we judge strangers or friends who make choices that we just don't understand? How about ignorance when we look away from those in need and live our lives unaffected by poverty and hunger and disease? How about anger when we allow our tempers to define who we are? I'm all about desperately clinging to the security that comes with the addiction to wealth and power or influence over others, or vanity, or the need to control everything and everyone. How about arrogance? When we engage in the justification of just tiny little lies, just little sins. How about questionable business practices for the greater good? Criticism of a spouse or a friend when he or she is not around. A little off-color joke just to make the crowd laugh. Something. Anything to fill up the emptiness in the God-shaped hole in our hearts. It's a good question for us to ponder. What are you tempted to use to fill up the emptiness inside of you? We're all tempted by something, probably more than one thing. What tempts you? Turn the stove over. On the other side, it says, hopefully you can read it, I am with you always. The good news is that the God we worship is Emmanuel, God with us, who promises never to leave us or to forsake us, and who Matthew says will be with us even to the end of the age. Jesus has already gone ahead of us to the most forsaken places in the wilderness. And he will meet us in those wilderness places. And just in case you're wondering, there is no place so desolate, no place so distant or so challenging that Jesus has not already been there. There is no test or temptation so great that Jesus has not already overcome. Our great high priest has been tempted in every single way that we have. Tempted to fill up that God-shaped hole with whatever it seemed like he was lacking in that moment. And yet, he is without sin. Because of this, we can find grace in him to help us in our greatest temptation. Just as the God-shaped hole in our hearts is a reminder of a life-giving relationship and connection to God, let this stone be a reminder that even in the deepest and darkest wilderness places, Jesus is with you. He knows exactly what you're going through because he lacks nothing. He will give grace to you in your time of need. And even when you fail, and when you give in to the temptation to squish something into your heart, into the place where only God can fill, the good news is this promise is still true. I am with you always. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.